Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday. Sports Bros here. Rob, that's me. Big Six right over there.
With us.
Yes. I am talking to a cop friend of mine about the sting. By the way, he said he knew that. He knows that cop. He thought he was a good guy.
Not anymore.
He's like,
worst person in the world now.
Yeah. He said he didn't think he had anyone at home, so that's probably a good thing. So I said, that's probably not going to sit well with the missus. And he's like, I don't think anyone's at home, which is probably why he was out on 82nd Avenue.
If he doesn't have... Yeah, dude, that's weak.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for that guy.
By the way, to the person who said that... We filleted Deshaun Watson for this thing. No, Deshaun Watson hired someone to give him a massage and then sexually assaulted her. Those are two vastly different things.
I want to say that guy might have been kidding about that.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah. If not, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got prime time audio of Prime.
Oh, Prime. Coach Prime.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Prime Inception.
Mm-hmm. Coach Prime's back at it, up to his old tricks.
Yeah.
Want to play a couple clips for you?
Hey, you call that guy all you want, and you cannot like him, but...
Well, I can't call him. I don't have his number.
On the air, what he's done, what him and Dillingham have done at those two programs is really impressive.
We have... what else?
And I hope BYU kicks both of your asses.
We haven't gotten to our NFL naked bike ride yet.
No, we haven't really touched a lot of the NFL.
No. So we've got some stuff from the weekend left over there. We've got a new phenomenon in sports that fascinates me. And in Club 1080 tonight, John Stamos is trending.
Oh, yes.
For a hilarious reason.
Boy, you want to talk about people that are outraged over anything and everything? I give you this. Let me just real quick. If someone does something and the person that they're doing it for or with isn't offended, shut the hell up.
Exactly what my best friend said today. He goes, people being mad for somebody who isn't mad is one of the most ridiculous things that we do.
Yeah.
It really is, isn't it?
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like if you're hanging out with a friend and you do something with that friend and the friend thinks it's hilarious or isn't bothered by it, and then you're outraged, you're like, a real friend wouldn't do that. Hey, dumbass, he's not doing it to you. Let it go. It has nothing to do with you.
So that's in the club 6 to 7 right now. The hot 5 at 5:10 again.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com.
Number five.
We have Major League Baseball Managers of the Year.
Yes.
Guardians and Brewers. Both are first-year guys. Steven Vogt in Cleveland. They went 92-69, made the ALCS. Milwaukee's Pat Murphy took the Crew to a record of 93-69 and a wild card series. Now, do you understand why they had different records?
What?
Did you hear any of that?
Yeah, you just were going over their records.
Yeah. Do you understand why they had different records?
Like, did they play, they coached a different number of games?
Yeah, I just said 92-69.
Well, we're not doing this math on the fly.
I didn't do the math.
Well, I said 92-69 and 93-69, and that might raise a sports guy's eyebrow to be like, wait a minute, what happened?
What did happen?
Good grief.
Me and Buck were like, what are you talking about?
Cleveland, their last game against the Astros, got rained out. and they didn't need it.
I remember that.
Four.
They didn't need it so because the Astros were getting ready to play a playoff game the next day. But what that did, so they didn't make it up. Jose Ramirez missed out on the opportunity to go 40-40.
Did he really?
Yeah, because he had 41 steals and 39 home runs, and they canceled that game.
Bitches.
I wonder, did he miss out on big incentives because of that?
Might have.
Is there 40-40 incentives in there?
I don't know. Maybe just for 40 of one category or 40 of the other.
By the way, could anyone in either one of those cities pick that guy out of a lineup if he was walking?
Just Jose Ramirez?
No, I'm talking about the two managers of the year.
Steven Vogt, yes. Could not have told you that Pat Murphy was a manager for anyone, let alone a good team in the Brewers.
Pat Murphy, no. Vogt, yes, because he used to be a player. Cavs are 15-0, guys. 15-0.
Not for long.
But here come the Celtics. Cleveland visiting Boston. The Seas are up 65-48 at the half.
Oh, that game will be within single digits by the middle of the third quarter. Welcome to the NBA.
The Celtics shot 63% from three in the first half.
Yikes.
Hashtag fade the Blazers as well.
Number three.
They don't play tonight, though. They're tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
What would be the word I'm looking for? It's been debunked. It's not a thing.
Yeah.
The Blazers are red hot. They're rolling.
Three in a row.
They will be back at it tomorrow in Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City, I think, is off of back-to-backs. I think they've got San Antonio tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
Win.
Chalk it up. No
chance. Is Tez Johnson back?
Instagram says yes.
Oregon wide receiver says he is on social media. His 649 yards and 8 tutties leads the Ducks. Oregon on a bye this week. They host the Nasty Dogs next Saturday of UW. Game time still TBD.
I wonder if that's even going to be... I mean, I've seen UW play enough this year. They're not terrible, but they're not good.
35-12.
35-12, huh?
Yeah,
I'll go 38-17. That'll be two scores. I feel pretty confident.
Number two.
More trouble for the Niners as Brock Purdy is now listed day to day. He is their quarterback, if you didn't know. He has a sore throwing shoulder.
Yeah, but I mean, my God, he's day to day. Brock Purdy's not going to miss time. When's the last time a guy missed a game because of a quote sore shoulder? He'll be fine.
San Francisco just 5-5. They are in Green Bay this week.
They got bigger problems than that. I just keep waiting for San Francisco to come around, and it just isn't happening. They're not explosive. McCaffrey doesn't look the same.
Their defense is banged up. They can't defend at the end of games.
No, I just think that we keep waiting for San Francisco because it's the 49ers, and I just don't know if it's going to happen this year. And then on the other side of that...
One more thing. Not much of a stunner here, but the Jets... fire GM Joe Douglas. Okay.
That's just a full reset. Yeah. By the way, they say that there's more that's going to come out about that. Every reporter has information, but I guess they're waiting to release it for some reason. But like four different NFL reporters say that there is a lot more to this story and that it eventually will come out.
Like what?
I don't know. But I guess Douglas didn't have a say in firing Robert Saleh. I think that's the first thing that's leaked. And that once he knew that had happened, that he knew he was a dead man walking. Rodgers isn't going to be welcome back. This whole thing is going to be a flush. So it's complete reset.
And you had one more Niners?
Oh, I was just going to
bring... Niners take?
We were talking about the Niners, but they're playing Green Bay. You know the worst quarterback in the NFL this year against the blitzes? Jordan Love.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Jordan Love has not, for all that money they gave him, Jordan Love has not looked the part this year.
It's so complicated that nobody knew it until today, but the Ducks have indeed clinched a spot in the Big Ten championship game.
But it's weird, because like all the talking heads, all the ESPN guys were saying that with a win, Oregon clinches the Big Ten.
See?
And then they win, and we're like, oh, they clinched. And then everyone was like, no, they didn't clinch.
This is groupthink.
And then like a day later, they came out and were like, no, they clinched.
This is why Aaron Rodgers says, do your own research online.
Where's RFK when I need him?
Joey Galloway was on ESPN Saturday night saying no one in the Big Ten controls their own destiny, which is just patently false.
Not even remotely true.
Not even close.
Ohio State does.
So did the Ducks.
And I think Indiana does.
Yes.
Yes.
Good grief.
What we're doing.
Well, it'll be Saturday, December 7th, 5 p.m. in Indianapolis. Of course, we'll have it here on the Fan. The opponent, of course, to be determined.
More than likely. Like in most scenarios, basically, if Indiana wins or Ohio State wins, that will more than likely be your other representative.
Well, there are 10 scenarios. They said they followed a comprehensive evaluation of 10 scenarios. In four of them, Oregon would play Indiana. In four others, they would meet Ohio State. And then Penn State in one other one. And then the last one is a tiebreaker between Indiana or Penn State.
But again, unless weird things happen, whoever wins the Indiana-Ohio State game will be the representative.
Victor Rico's Mexican food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com. Let's get into some Colorado and college football talk next on The Fan. Well, Colorado's got a shot at the Big 12 title game.
Yeah. Well, them and...
In your face.
And Arizona State control their own destiny.
So Prime is at it again. Saw a clip of him. I tell you what, you want to talk about a guy who could have everyone eating out of the palm of his hand, but thoroughly refuses not to, and not that he cares, but God, he's just
he's a lot.
Insufferable.
Yeah.
And here's another reason, because who'd they just beat? Utah.
Yeah, they hammered Utah.
After the Utah game.
With their fifth string quarterback. Utah, that is.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, they laid 49 on 49-24.
After that game, they asked Coach Prime about Travis Hunter's Heisman chances, and here's what he said.
What would your message be to Heisman voters who are undecided in his case?
I'm going to get no message to no Heisman voters is undecided. If they can't see, they can't see. It is what it is. I mean, Travis is who he is. It's supposed to go to the best college football player. I think that's been a wrap since, what, week two? So... We ain't petitioning for nobody. We ain't doing that. We got a wonderful display of cameras here, and I think we're on national television every week. If they can't see it, there's a problem. Don't allow their hatred for me to interfere with our kids' success. They got to stop that. Y'all got to stop some of y'all like that. Y'all got to stop that, man. Give the kids what they deserve, man. I had my turn. You had, I played 14 years. You had 14 years to hate me. Now let it go.
God.
Yeah, it's somehow he still finds it about himself.
It's always about Dion.
Yeah. He just, he inserts himself in everything. But I wonder too if that's like his, that's like his Dan Lanning version of us against them.
It's possible.
You know, he rallies his team around that.
Yeah.
But God, it's really obnoxious.
Yes. But this is where I'll give him credit. Like, all of a sudden, they're playing real defense. Like, their defensive line, I think, in the last 6 weeks leads the country in sacks. They got, like, 28 of them. And, again, the competition isn't great. But, again, you play who you play. And Colorado has shown up. And they're playing real defense. And the offense looks much better. And the offensive line looks better.
Isn't the defensive line coach Warren Sapp?
Yeah, Warren Sapp came in. He's one of them.
Wow.
And
your boy.
They have done... look. Speaking of prostitutes, Warren Sapp... He got caught.
Well, again, I don't care.
I know. We were talking about that.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just saying I don't.
Yeah.
It's just, whatever. The guy wants to get laid. More power to him.
The staff that he assembled and he made some changes has, it's worked out. The defensive coordinator that they brought in, was it Robert Livingston?
Where's he from?
Where did he? I'm trying to remember where he came from.
Bob.
I'd have to look it up. But
Bob Livingston.
Yeah, I mean, they
sounds like a senator.
They have made they've made wholesale changes, and it has worked out. And yeah, they brought in Warren Sapp, and he's got their defensive line playing much better. The offensive line's playing much better. They're running the ball a little bit better, and 2 years ago, Colorado was one of the more irrelevant programs in all of college football, and last year did not go well for Colorado. It was a lot of hype. This year didn't start off necessarily great. And so it was kind of like, well, here it comes again. And I just did not think that the way he was going about it was going to be successful. But again, proof's in the pudding.
Livingston came from the NFL. He was a Bengals defensive backs coach.
Okay.
Bringing in some NFL guys. I like it.
Well, it's working. So,
well, the big story.
I think Colorado and Arizona State right now are the two best teams in football and in the Big 12.
Whoa.
No.
Whoa.
Colorado will get hammered by a real.
Hold on.
Oregon plays Colorado, I feel immensely confident.
What do you think about this Kansas game? You just saw my Jayhawks. What do you think?
I don't know.
What do you think?
I think Colorado's going to be fine. Colorado's going to score points. I don't think Kansas is going to beat Colorado. Again, I think there's a real chance it's just Arizona State and it's Colorado.
Why do you say that?
You're not very good.
What do you mean? We just beat your ass.
What did I say about BYU?
We're undefeated ass.
We're also not very good.
We're playing some pretty good football.
Colorado and Arizona State are just, you put up what, 16 points? That's not
going to be. No. 17.
17.
Thank you.
That won't get it. You're not going to hold Colorado to 17 points. They have real receivers and they have arguably the best quarterback in the country. They're going to score points. I'm not certain that Kansas can apply the pressure to get to Colorado. The key to beating Colorado is you have to light
you
up.
You got to pressure.
You got to pressure. And when you do, that offense falls apart. And they've done a better job scheme-wise and protection-wise of keeping him upright. And when they do, and it's not just Travis Hunter. They have other good receivers there.
You seen our DBs?
So
are they good?
Oh, dude, two of the best in the country.
Okay.
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
And, Dotson.
Oh, that's right. I have heard of Kobe Bryant.
They both played 4 years.
They're damn good, but yes. You're right. You got to warm up Sanders.
You got to warm up Sanders.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I don't think Colorado is like some sort of juggernaut, but Colorado, I think, is going to get an opportunity to play in the Big 12 title game, and that's where you have to tip your cap to Deion. I want to see long-term when Hunter leaves, when Shadur leaves, can he kind of keep this going? Because I still, in my mind, I think the way he's gone about this and trying to build this team doesn't seem like it can be productive, because we've seen teams exclusively use the transfer portal, Florida State, Michigan State. We've seen teams use this for brief windows of success, but it usually doesn't equate to year after year after year. And they just don't seem that interested in building from within. And so I still have my doubts long-term about it, but this year it's one of the better coaching jobs in the country.
Big article on CBS Sports today about Sanders. And they said that there is a hesitant consensus that he stays at Colorado. Even after Shadur and Travis leave.
Yeah. Well,
hesitant consensus. Well,
he tried to address that today, too. Said, I'm kickstand down as if I'm parking my bike.
Yeah.
He might be. I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Well, everyone keeps saying the NFL, but he has said multiple times the NFL will not work.
No.
For him. I don't think he's ready for the NFL.
No. It's got to be Florida State if they moved on from Norvell, but they don't have the money to move on from Norvell.
Or, as you have said, USC.
Yeah.
Yeah. He commented on that, too. Somebody asked him about L.A., and he said it was too expensive. Deion's a cheap
for
ass.
For Deion Sanders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he's got a lot of money, but, you know.
Affleck money, baby. Let's go.
He's still a little frugal.
Well, I think if you're Deion, you realize that the Big 12 is a good path for you, and, you know, it's a lot easier to build. I think if he ended up in the Big 10 or he ended up in the SEC, I think it would be a lot of teams find this out. It's much harder. So maybe Colorado is a good fit for him. Maybe he does want to stick around. You know, can he find his quarterback, and can he find his next Travis Hunter? And can he keep this going without really a lot of great high school recruiting? Again, we've seen teams turn things around. We've seen teams have flash in the pans because he was terrible last year. This year it's been very good. Can you continue it? Because, you know, from Mel Tucker again to Mike Norvell, how many times have we seen the one-year wonder? You know, where it's a special group and the transfer portal comes in and everything works out. So, impressed, but at the same time, consider me skeptical that this is still a long-term thing.
Maybe the one indicator that it's not just a flash in the pan is the coaching. I mean, the players are getting better.
Yes, they are.
And particularly at positions where they weren't highly thought of when the season started.
Yes.
And that's a sign of good coaching.
Yeah.
And that always translates. You know, I mean, you don't have to get Shadur Sanders and Travis Hunter every year.
If you're
coaching them up, you know, you got a shot, especially in that league.
Yeah. But again, talent acquisition, I still am skeptical of his model. So
is Shadur Sanders the number one pick in the draft?
Feels like he's going to be in the conversation.
Because I feel like Ewers is slipping.
Ewers is falling. Carson Beck is
slipping.
Yeah.
Like, who's left?
For the QBs, Shadur Sanders will probably be the number one quarterback. And then that leads to the question of, is that going to be, is it a de facto, does it go to a quarterback?
Who else is up there?
Well, I mean, you could make the argument that someone would want to take a shot at Travis Hunter. If someone thinks that he's a unique enough guy, if you wanted to do one of the O linemen, whether you wanted to go with Banks, the kid out of Texas, or if you wanted to go with McMillan, the receiver out of Arizona.
Can I ask with Hunter if he only plays one spot, which I would expect, which side would it be?
I've heard a lot of different.
It's a good question.
A lot of different opinions on this. It's not like I watched the breakdown of Travis Hunter. I think a lot of the experts say that he is not the complete receiver that people make him out to be. I've heard three or four draft guys that say that he would be more NFL ready at the cornerback position than he would as a receiver, that he's still very raw, but maybe the upside at receiver is more so than at corner. But if a quarterback is going to be number one, I do believe that Shedeur Sanders will be the first player off the board.
Well, everybody else is sliding.
Yeah. Yeah, there just isn't another one. And we knew this was going to be a very weak class. In fact, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, the only other real quarterback that went into the season as one of those guys that hasn't really fallen is Cam Ward. And I don't think Cam Ward would go above Shedeur Sanders. But that right now feels like those are the top two. And then I don't know if there's another transcendent player that would be worthy of the number one pick, or it may just be someone wants to move out of it. You know, if you got the number one overall pick, you may look at this and be like, nah, man, I'm good. Someone wants to move up and give me two ones for it, I'll go down and take you know, there's good edge. Pierce, the edge rusher out of Tennessee, was it Mason Graham, the defensive tackle out of Michigan, who's really good. You know, maybe do something like that. Abdullah Carter out of Penn State. So maybe you can get an offensive tackle and an elite edge rusher or a defensive tackle, all for what you would get with the number one overall pick, and maybe that's enough for people.
Did you see Travis Hunter got flagged for doing the Heisman pose?
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's lame.
I don't know why.
That's a...
Of all the things that... I mean, they're letting guys dance now. They're letting guys do choreographed stuff. I don't get why that's a problem.
I was looking here, too. I wanted to see where the tank meter is with the NFL teams. So right now, all the two-loss teams, Jacksonville, no. Tennessee, yes. Cleveland, yes. Giants, yes. Vegas, yes. So you would assume, unless it's Jacksonville who would trade out of it, you would assume that Tennessee, Cleveland, New York, and Vegas would all pick a quarterback.
Would Jacksonville move on from Lawrence, or can they not? Because
they
of
can't. Yeah, they gave.
Well, don't forget, Prime is saying that he's going to be guiding Shedeur and Travis with where to go.
That's right.
I don't know which one of those you would rather him go to, but none of those are necessarily great franchises.
Well, maybe he'll say, well, I don't know. I don't know how much power he can.
Yeah, I don't know how much he wields.
Wield there, but I mean. I don't know. Maybe he says none of them. Well, he's trying to guide him to certain places.
Well, I mean, you look at good organizations. Just go down the list. New England wouldn't take him. Does he want to end up with the Jets? You want to talk about
no
a bad
chance.
Situation. Do you want to end up in Carolina, who would take a quarterback? Do you want to go to Dallas? But Dallas has Dak. They're not moving on. Does New Orleans tickle you? New Orleans, you could move on.
Well, I'm just thinking about his daddy and where he would push him. Maybe Dallas.
I'm just trying to think of a good situation that would need a quarterback. And you got to go a long way down to find a good organization with a solid base that needs a quarterback.
I'm not sure that's his exact criteria. You know, Dallas, he's got a lot of ties to Dallas, and maybe it's not always about just the organization. Yeah. I could see Dion trying to get Shedeur to Dallas and say, hey, sit behind Dak.
Yeah.
You know, like the Penix thing. And
yeah, that's something tells me he doesn't like to sit behind people, but we shall see. Like the Bo Nix situation, like you ended up in Denver, good organization, rich owner, and you got Sean Payton. And, you know, it's really turned out to be a nice blessing for you. Defense is great, good structure around him, and coaching up. So that's an organization that turned on a dime, right, that brought someone in, and that Bo ended up in a really good spot. So, you know, maybe one of those teams, you know, maybe someone fires and brings in an offensive-minded coach, and everything gets hunky-dory. Because some of those could be looking for new coaches, including Cleveland, the Giants, Vegas, Jets.
Dion Shedeur package deal?
Well, that's what some people are talking about, if he decided he wanted to do it.
All right, coming up next, let's get to the week that was in the NFL. Here's Buck. All right, now to the NFL. My Seahawks saved their season the other day.
Yeah.
Geno, did you know he was 0-for against the Niners until that game?
Yeah, the Niners had been their daddies for the last handful of years.
Yeah.
They've had a real Niner problem. And
now they don't?
No.
Right, Buckley? In your face.
That's correct.
Well, look.
Snapped a nice streak.
You want to fire Kyle Shanahan yet?
No, but I have the same concerns as many 49ers fans that while he's a great play caller and a great schemer, the adjustments aren't great and close games aren't great either.
Well, I think that a lot of the glue guys are gone off defense. I think you still have this, like Fred Warner's playing as good as anyone in the NFL. I think he's the best off-ball linebacker. It's not even close. Bosa has always chipped up and isn't the impact player that he was. A lot of your other defensive linemen, it just doesn't scare you anymore. Look at that defensive line that they used to have, but it started when they went and got Hargrove from Philly. Didn't really work out. The Solomon Thomas thing didn't work out. They just missed on a lot of those D linemen. And Armstead's gone.
Buckner was around for a while. He's gone too.
Yeah, they're just not, you know, they're just not the crew that they were. And a lot of the glue guys, especially again at linebacker, you know, it used to be absolutely from Bowman to Shakir, like, and now you look at it outside of Fred Warner, who's the best linebacker that they have. So I think the defense isn't what it was. And then when you look at the offensive side of the ball, I think the Ayuk injury really hurts them as they don't really have anyone that stretches the field. Juwan Jennings is a nice possession receiver, but I'd make the argument that their most explosive player right now is George Kittle. And Kittle's, again, banged up all the time. And we'll see. If McCaffrey gets this rolling, then this may be what cures this offense. But the last 2 weeks, McCaffrey does not have the juice. He does not have it. He is not the explosive player that he was. So the question becomes, is that he's older and the wear and tear, or is he still battling the Achilles and all that? But right now, there is a lot of issues with San Francisco where if you're waiting for the old Niners to walk through the door, I don't think they are. Doesn't mean they can't win that division. Doesn't mean they're not a dangerous team. This is the worst version of the Niners, and their Super Bowl window is shrinking. Or you're going to have to kind of reinvent yourself and come up with the next inception of this. And also remember too, that all of this has been done with Brock Purdy making no money. So after this year, you got to figure out what you want to do. And does Brock want $60 million? Is he's not going to take a Geno type deal where he's going to take 25. Is he willing to take a Daniel Jones and sit there in the 40s? And what does that do to you? So I don't really love where the Niners are at right now and the way they're playing.
Yeah. You could also say, hey, it's only week 10.
Yeah.
Or week 11, whatever. And, I'd rather have my team 5-5 right now than cruising like the Lions.
Oh, dude, the amount of times that we've written off the 49ers, yeah, and then at the end of the year they get it rolling.
Bingo.
Which is why I'm saying if McCaffrey can pop and get back, they need something on the NFL now. It's just it's everyone's trying to make you just get little hunks down the field, and it's really hard to do, especially when your own line isn't great. And right now they're just not explosive. I think they're like 19th in explosive plays, and they need a guy that can go the distance. They need a home run hitter, and that can't be George Kittle. Christian McCaffrey has to go back to being the most dangerous man in the NFL, or that doesn't, this offense is not going to look the way that we're used to it. And I'm not certain that the defense honestly has the personnel to really play the way that we're used to the Niners playing.
But if you see them playing better and all the things come together, mm-hmm, do you still worry that Shanahan's going to screw it up?
Yes.
Because, my God, you said you had some stats on them.
Yeah, I think
blowing games.
Yeah, I think I might have even. So right now, this season, they have the second most points allowed in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. They've allowed like 29 points in the last 2 minutes of games.
Ooh.
Only the Bengals are worse. And then, let's see. And the stat about Shanahan, it was of coaches who have coached at least 40 games in the NFL, or 41 score games in the NFL. There's 125 of them, and he is 118th in win percentage in one score games.
So, having watched a bunch of the Niners, they're 5-5. They really should be 8-3 because they had zero business. I'm not counting the Minnesota game. Minnesota outplayed them.
They did.
They had no business losing to the Rams. None. I still can't believe that they were able to give that game away.
Yep.
Zero business losing to the Cardinals. They just were like, nah, we don't want it here. And then the worst, Seattle. Like,
they didn't show up.
They did it again. Like, so there are three games that you are really going to look back on if you're the Niners and be like, what the hell were we doing? So it's a 5-5 team, but if you want a glass half full sort of thing, it really
could be better.
It should be at least a 7-win, if not an 8-win team. So
they're right there
with small adjustments and McCaffrey coming back. Don't write them off, but I don't have the faith that I've always had, just that don't write off Seattle or don't write off San Francisco. Here they come. And I'm starting to let some doubt creep in.
All right. Up next is Shane Steichen, smart or dumb or both on the Fan. All right, last little NFL note here. We'll have more tomorrow. But Shane Steichen put Anthony Richardson back in. And lo and behold, they won.
Yeah.
And looked a lot better.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco looked terrible.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson looked a lot better in this.
Well, and Flacco was just bad. Yeah. I mean, it's...
Yeah, so was Anthony Richardson.
Well, he was, and we all know why he got benched, because Flacco had previously looked good, and then Richardson did the thing where he tapped out of the game.
He needed a brick right there. Yeah.
And so it made sense for them to go to Flacco, because everyone was saying, well, Flacco gives you a better chance to win, and that was pretty obvious by how the two were playing, and then you had the whole tap-out thing. And
sure.
So Steichen benches Richardson, but then Flacco plays absolutely awful and just he sucks all of a sudden. And then, well, not all of a sudden, but you know what I mean.
Sure.
Wasn't playing like he was before. And then freaking Steichen leaves him in there.
Yeah.
For like three games.
I think the idea was that was less about Joe Flacco, and it was more about Anthony Richardson not being able to process what was going on. And you can't leave someone out to dry. You can't have someone lose in a locker room. You can't have someone developing bad habits. And Anthony Richardson was so far over his head. I mean, he was drowning out there. So I like what they did. And we do, again, we do this all the time. Guy has a decent game. By the way, did you know since Robert Saleh got fired, who's the worst defense in the NFL?
Would it be the Jets?
Well, I'm going to say the Jets, Bob.
Bingo. By the
Thank
way,
that you.
Clearly was his fault, right?
Relax.
You fired your head coach, who was your defensive coach, and now you're the worst defense in the NFL. So, Anthony Richardson.
What does that have to do with Anthony Richardson?
Well, because Anthony Richardson looked good against the worst defense in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He also had 11 designed runs, which is more than any quarterback in the NFL, which, again, is not something you can do on a regular basis because he has a history of getting hurt. So while it was nice to see Anthony Richardson have a bounce back, but again, I love the narrative. Everyone from Pat McAfee to Adam Schefter, they're like, oh my God, Anthony Richardson. What, you know, everything, the Colts are a contender right now. I'm like, oh my Lord. They're playing the Lions this week. And get ready for Anthony Richardson to look god-awful against the Lions. And it's not his fault. It's just this narrative that we go. And by the way, then they have the Patriots and the Broncos. I don't know if you've seen the Broncos play defense. It's nasty. Anthony Richardson is about to get his teeth kicked in for at least two, if not the next 3 weeks in a row. And it's not Anthony Richardson's fault. But God, the guy comes in and plays one good, solid game against an awful defense. And now we're going to lump the expectations on the world back on Anthony Richardson's shoulder. He is not a good quarterback right now. He is not prepared to play this game. And you knew when you drafted him, it is a long-term developmental thing. So please, just everyone, have some patience with the guy and realize that you can't keep going back. He's going to have to now ride out these bumps, and they are coming.
So do you think, but my question was more about Steichen. Like, the way he handled it, was he smart or dumb?
He was smart. You couldn't keep letting Anthony Richardson go out there and play that way, because they were in every game. Like, every game they were within one possession, and Anthony Richardson was losing them games, and then he had the tap out. And you can't do that to an NFL locker room. No one else cares that you have a young developing quarterback. Guys care about their job and care about right now. And so, yes, I think what he did was really, really smart.
He needed a brick right there.
I'm still... Steichen's an interesting one. I think this coach in Arizona, Gannon, is good and is showing that he's good. Steichen is one that I'm like, I don't know if he's good or not.
I think he's a good coach.
You do?
And I think he's coming up with good. I think he is a good play designer. I just think he's playing with a very, very right. This is going to be a bold statement. He is playing right now with the most limited quarterback in the NFL of the real starters. Because, you know,
And then Flacco. So you look at that, and I think they're, what, 5-5?
Five and five, right?
Are they 5-5?
I think so.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
5-6 now.
Yeah, 5-6.
5-6. And you look at their losses, they are in almost every game that they play in. I'm looking here at their losses. 21-16 to the Bears, 27-24 to the Steelers.
Ooh, Bears.
23-20 to the Texans, 21-13 to the Vikings, 30-20 against the Bills. They're in ball games.
That Vikings game was a mess.
Yeah. And so just
I go back and forth. I don't know. I don't know about him.
I still think long term this is going to end poorly for Anthony Richardson. Players that are this far behind the eight ball as far as their fundamentals and their footwork and their ability to process information, they don't work out in the NFL. And people can say all they want about Josh Allen. Josh Allen was so far above where Anthony Richardson is at. He has all the physical attributes in the world, but he is an infant when it comes to playing that position. And I don't know how many times it's going to take before someone figures out that athletes don't win at quarterback. I would love to have an athletic quarterback. That's great. If you give me a guy that has the ability to move around in the pocket, it is such a weapon, especially on third down, the ability to scramble. But if what you do the best is run, that is your whole MO, the list of truly successful quarterbacks in the NFL that are like that is probably three guys, and they all threw the ball much better than Anthony Richardson, and that's probably Cam Newton, Michael Vick. In fact, that may be the list that worked out long term would be those two guys. So I hope Indy has some patience, and I hope that his development can jump leaps and bounds. But this is going to be a long term process. This is not going to get figured out. And certainly when you look at the schedule coming up, again, just Lions, Patriots, Broncos, ouch. That could be a rough go. And you can't go back to Flacco at this point. For better or worse, this is your guy the rest of the year.
And they said that. They said when they put Richardson back in, he's it for the rest of the year. Why John Stamos is trending, it's a hilarious reason.
It really is.
And we have yet another one falling out of a window.
Boy, it's a real problem over there.
Yeah, you're talking about Russia.
Yes.
And with such coordinated beings, no less.
I know.
Don't you think it's about to be a problem here?
Maybe.
I don't want to laugh at that.
You do it anymore, you're going to have problems.
Jeez. The club is next on The Fan.